This is the final call for all international passengers. Please have your passport ready and proceed.
Passport time. Overseas we go to introduce something a little bit different. Travel documents ready. Today we're going here. That is the sound of the world's largest Catholic Mass. It means, I think you might have guessed it, yes, we must be in the Philippines. This is an El Shaddai service held outdoors every week. An extraordinary phenomenon. And we're joined to explain all of this to us via Skype, our correspondent Janak Rogers, who's in Manila. Janak, welcome.
Thanks, Jonathan.
What is it like to attend one of these services? Word picture, please.
It's fairly impressive, I have to say. It's held in a large park, sort of in a suburb of Manila, and you arrive, there's all these sort of nuns who give you envelopes and different things. People write their prayers in these envelopes and put money in them, and they're handed to the preachers later. But you sort of walk in and it opens up into what's literally a sea of people, thousands and thousands of people in what's effectively an open field. And there's a huge cavernous building as well, which seats some 16,000 people apparently. It's got sort of kitsch, or somewhat kitsch, I should say, sort of rainbow-coloured neon lights. And the service goes on in there, and it's also projected out onto this huge crowd of people which are filling the field there. And, yeah, there's singing, there's dancing, there's clapping, there's vendors. It's very informal and very, very friendly and very welcoming.
I particularly like the idea of prayers via post popped into the envelope. That's rather nice. But beneath all this colour and movement, we're talking fundamentally about a Catholic Mass?
We are, yes. El Shaddai is what's called a Catholic Charismatic Renewal Group, and they emerged in the 1980s. So they are very much Catholic, but a particular flavour of Catholicism called renewal. It involves sort of bypassing elements of the Catholic hierarchy to having a sort of a more direct relationship with God, as it were. But the main difference really, I guess, is in the flavour of these services and the fact that it's very much considered a church of the poor. The services are held in a poorer part of Manila, and it's really seen as attracting people from lower socioeconomic backgrounds.
And it all began because of a radio program?
Indeed. It began because of a gentleman called Mike Velarde, who's known as Brother Mike. And he was and still is actually, a real estate developer. But he acquired a radio station in the 1980s and started preaching via the radio station. And it just slowly started drawing a crowd. So people would come to the radio station to listen to him. And then it grew from there to the point where now there's millions of followers. So there's hope for you as well, Jonathan.
Well, I'm very, very much relieved to hear that, Janak. That's good news indeed. Now, this is not the only homegrown Filipino church. You want to tell us, too, about Iglesia Ni Cristo?
Indeed, yeah. Iglesia Ni Cristo are actually a Protestant church, and they have been having a somewhat spectacular year. It's their centennial this year. And they've inaugurated the world's biggest indoor arena, I should say. It seats 55,000 people, and it's part of basically a city that they're building on the outskirts of Manila.
And you went on a visit to this church?
That's correct. Yeah, I did go on a visit to this church. And, it's actually, I mean, really is an arena, but just built by a church. They're also building hospitals and schools. And I was taken through the arena by a lady called Sister Bessie, and here's some of what she had to say.
We call this the entire development as Ciudad de Victoria. So if you translate it, it's the city of victory. From here, so from the name itself, that just proves that Iglesia Ni Cristo, from all the hardships and all the trials that we undergo, we conquer and we became victorious.
Mm. And it'll be a mixture of businesses, shops, conference centers.
Yes. So within the year also, the part of the development are malls, commercial malls, then hotels, and there will be tertiary hospital also, and universities. So it would be a complete package, not only sports tourism, but medical tourism also will be here, and educational tourism also. So it's a one-stop shop for tourism.
How very extraordinary. The many experiences of Filipino Christianity is our passport topic this evening. Janet Rogers is in Manila. We're hearing there about Iglesia Ni Cristo. We've heard as well about El Shaddai. Some points of similarity, but some great points of difference as well.
I mean, there's some very, very fundamental differences between them. El Shaddai, at the end of the day, they're a Catholic group, so they really do fall within the fold of the Catholic Church and all that entails. The Iglesia Ni Cristo is very, very different. Its origins are originally Protestant, but they hold some views that are considered really quite controversial. They deny the Holy Trinity. They only really see sort of God as one, and Jesus as his son, but they don't see Jesus as Christ or as a God in any way. They also believe they're sort of the one true church. Every other Christian and every other faith, of course, unfortunately, according to them, sort of condemned to eternal damnation if they don't join the Iglesia Ni Cristo. They're also sort of politically quite different. They demand sort of absolute political obedience from their followers. So they've carved out a very interesting space within, not only within sort of Filipino religious spectrum, but also within the political spectrum.
And they have great influence politically?
They do indeed. They're perceived as punching well above their weight. The numbers are hard to pin down, but they're estimated to have about 4 million followers, the vast majority here in the Philippines. But the fact is that they vote, you know, on block. The administration decides who everyone should vote for, and they're known for being very disciplined in following that.
Now, Janik, you spoke to Dr. Stephen Rood. He's director of the Philippines Asia Foundation, and he had this to say about Iglesia Ni Cristo.
They offer their members a total package of social services, education, health, and so on and so forth, but also a guidance and very disciplined organization, making sure they keep track of people. So it enforces a discipline, and that has two effects. First, it can work at the local level, because if there's a concentration of Iglesia members in a particular place, it is enough to sway local politics. And the local politicians know this perfectly well and don't cross the Iglesia. On a national level, it's not enough to sway a national election, but it is enough to have considerable degree of influence so that virtually all national leaders consult with the Iglesia about recommendations for persons to be appointed to particular offices, about promotion of particular policies, and so on.
So, Janik, Iglesia Ni Cristo has great influence, we hear there, but the agenda, what specifically are their political objectives?
Well, that's actually harder to determine. For example, take the Catholic Church. Their sort of social agenda is well known and well defined, you know, and the Philippines is a very, very fine example of the influence of the Catholic Church. For example, divorce is illegal here. It's the only country other than the Vatican City where divorce is illegal. Abortion is also illegal in all cases, including rape, incest, where the mother's life is in danger. And these are well-known sort of tenets of Catholic religious politics. Mm. You compare that to Iglesia Ni Cristo, they actually happen to agree with the Catholic Church on those two issues, but they're not really social reformers in any way. They're widely perceived as really just being interested in maintaining the interests of the church, which are both business interests and politically putting their own people into positions of power, but they're not seen as social reformers in any way. And they are creating what's really perceived as a bit of a state within a state, all these services that they've created for their members, and their main interest is securing that.
Presumably the stocks, just finally, Janik, of Filipino Christians will be boosted by the Pope's visit in January next year?
Well, Filipino Catholics, for sure. I mean, this is the biggest thing to hit the Philippines really since the last time the Pope came, which was in 1996, and John Paul II came. At that time, some 5 million people came to the streets to his mass. It was the biggest mass, apparently, in history. And you can expect the Philippines to put on a huge show. Catholicism is so deeply rooted here, and this is the big news in town.
Janik, thanks so much.
You're very welcome.
Janik Rogers, he's in the Philippines capital of Manila. And insights there, the things we have learned this evening on Passport about El Shaddai, about Iglesia Ni Cristo, the unique nature of, well, not only Catholicism, but of Christianity more broadly within the Philippines. It's coming up to the news here on RN Drive, 7 o'clock.